Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings ZD right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of ZD Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, ZD and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm ZD Donahue.
Let us discuss lettuce edges. Oh man, I couldn't resist. Maybe a little disclaimer here at the beginning of the podcast. We're broadcasting from ZD Donahue's home for old and nervous dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
So there is a quiet dog in the studio with us, but you may hear some toenails on a
clicking
the
on the floor.
But she just
can't
handle it. Just can't handle it right now.
Although Mallory asked her to sneeze into the microphone, and she did.
Yeah, I said, hey, can you go lay down, or could you just, you know, sneeze into my microphone? And she sneezed, and she hit her little chin on the, I mean, not little, gigantic dog, but hit her chin on the table.
People always,
on command.
She's the one that people always say, oh my gosh, that's a huge dog. And I go, it's not my biggest dog.
It's not the biggest one.
Yeah.
All right. So a question in the group was brought up, and I can't believe we haven't done an episode on this. I don't think we have. But we're going to talk about lettuce edges today. Someone said something about, I can't do a lettuce edge on a woven fabric. And they're kind of right, you know. And
right.
So let's talk about how you can get these edges. So when we talk about a lettuce edge, how we would define that is generally something you see on a knit. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's a process which will detail of stretching the fabric, and you get a little wave
right
on the edge of your fabric.
It's almost like a little ruffle.
Yeah, it's a lettuce.
You're actually distorting the fabric.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You're truly, truly distorting the fabric. You are stretching that very edge of that fabric away from the main body of the fabric.
So you're getting, well, I guess technically it's kind of a flounce because, you know, the volume doesn't come from gathering. It comes from stretching.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah, that's what we're talking about. And then the other edge that we're going to discuss today is the wavy edge that you can get on a woven, which we often call like a fishing line edge because that's
a wire or fishing line edge.
A wire edge, fishing line
because you
edge.
Insert a wire or a fishing line.
Okay. Was that ever a Zigzag Live? Did we talk about that? I don't know. Maybe I'm hallucinating that. But we have a wonderful...
Sometimes I dream we did something and we didn't do it.
We have a wonderful example of the fishing line edge on a dress that ZD made me. So I think we've discussed this dress before.
Oh, yeah, that dress has been shown,
maybe what
I'm pretty sure.
About. Yeah. Or a dress that you upcycled, if
there
you will,
you
for me. So it didn't make completely. But yeah. Okay. I love to talk about lettuce edges on the serger. Okay, so let's talk about how...
So go ahead and talk.
I will. I'm going to talk. That's why I
started this podcast.
Let us begin. All right, the stitch you use for a lettuce edge on the serger, you can technically use just about anything, right?
Well, that's
like
true.
An overlock.
It depends on what you want it to look like.
We often use a rolled edge.
A rolled edge is nice because you'll get coverage.
Yeah.
So the one thing that I get concerned about on a lettuce edge is the pokies.
Yes.
You know, am I going to have funny little pokey? Because I'm stretching that fabric through there. So I like to get coverage. Now, there's some fabric that doesn't give you pokies.
Yes, it depends on the
fabric.
So you can use
a longer stitch that's, you know, farther apart and doesn't have so much coverage.
Yep.
You can also do this on your sewing machine with a zigzag, yep. with like a satin stitch.
You can.
Okay? But it's not as much fun.
No.
but it can be done.
It's not as much fun. So we generally like to use a rolled edge, but I have seen it done with like a three-thread narrow.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it done so much with the three-thread wide.
I've actually done it.
Have you done it?
With... not a wide, but I have done it with a heavier thread.
Oh, yeah.
With a narrow. And boy, here's where we're talking about testing, testing, testing.
Yes.
Because you don't know what kind of look you're going to get depending on your thread, on your stitch length, and on your fabric type. Okay?
Yeah, you do need to test
right.
on this.
And the one thing that you have to make sure for sure is that you are on the stretchy edge of your fabric, so the stretchy weave of your fabric, right?
Like sometimes your stretch will only go across, like on the weft,
right?
Okay, and then sometimes it will go both ways,
right?
Okay, but if you try to do it on a non-stretchy, it's really not right. gonna work.
Now,
as well.
If you have something like a circle or a curve,
uh-huh.
that should work because it's like on the bias.
Right.
Okay, and you will get that stretch.
So you're gonna choose your stitch. You're gonna choose your thread. We do like to do this. It's very pretty with like a metallic
yeah.
thread.
I oftentimes use two threads in the one. One looper.
Yeah, because it is nice to get coverage, okay?
And you get, like, I can get a variation in color or something. Or I can use a metallic and a regular polyester thread.
This is fun also with the woolly nylon
yes.
or the Maxi-Lock yes. stretch thread. But woolly nylon is, it'll puff up more,
because it puffs
nice.
Up and fills.
Okay.
It was the stretchy thread also.
Yes. So then you've got your stitch chosen. You probably want to be at... like the lowest stitch length, almost.
You're gonna be like in the 1 and 2 area,
or below.
To try out,
0.75.
Right? To try out. I mean, yeah, I'd start at 1 and then go up or down. Is what I would usually do.
So you're going to be there, and then a lot of people will tell you. So what makes this lettuce edge is the fabric getting stretched out. So a lot of people will tell you to set your differential feed to stretchy. Okay.
Right.
So we can. Differential feed is a whole thing that if you don't know what it is, I wrote a really awesome blog post on it. We'll link to that. But I actually don't change the differential feed.
No, I don't either. I pull it myself.
We are the differential feed, right?
I am my differential feed, yes.
Because it won't cut it, all right? It's got to be stretched more than that.
Right. There won't – you won't get –
the lettuce.
The letty lettuce part.
Yes.
If it won't stretch it enough. It
no.
can't mesh it out. It can't stretch it that far.
So you know
far.
When you send some through your serger and it gets wavy
right.
and then you take your differential feed elsewhere, this won't, you won't get the wave you want with
right.
just the differential
the
feed.
Other thing when I'm stretching is I'm also making sure that I'm just making sure I'm getting right up next to that blade and that is not being pushed away from the blade. Because that's where I get the good coverage.
This is the part that I like to talk about. Because I like to talk about the serger space-time continuum. Okay?
Oh,
is
my
what
gosh.
I like to call
We're
it.
In the twilight zone.
Yes. Okay, so what CD is talking about when we talk about being our own differential feed? Okay, and we're always yelling at you, stop stretching, stop pulling your fabric through the machine. If you wonder what it would be like to have ZD or Mallory as your sewing teacher, it would be us sitting there telling you to stop pushing and pulling on your fabric.
That's right. Be nice. Be gentle.
Hey, quit. Let the
be
machine
easy.
Do that.
The machine can do the work.
Not right now. Okay? We are going to tell you
what this is special effects.
This is special. We're going to tell you to get your... rolled edge or your whatever started, and then you're going to pull from the back and you're going to pull towards yourself from the front, and you are going to, now that's not actually pulling your fabric through, it's just sending stretch.
So you're
fabric
pulling your
through.
Fabric sort of apart and then pulling it through
that's
at the same time.
Right. So you're following the lead of your machine, mm-hmm. but as that fabric is being sent through, it is in a stretched state.
Right. And
that's such a good way of putting it.
As it's cutting there.
Okay, no, I got to talk about that.
You want to be right up next to you and keep it up next to your blade.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
You don't want to let it get pushed away.
Here it is. Here's what happens. Here, if you've ever tried this and you've gotten frustrated, what has happened to you is your stitch goes off your fabric for a little bit, right? It was even happening. We had a teacher who was about to teach this class, and she's very experienced seamstress, okay, but she was having trouble. She said, Mallory, my stitch keeps falling off, okay? And they said, okay, it's because of the space-time continuum on the serger. That's right. Or maybe I can come, can someone come up with a better, maybe it's not the continuum, it's like the paradox or like the
Twilight
whatever.
Zone.
Okay. Your
the space continuum zone.
Okay.
I don't know. Whatever.
Someone smart. I'm sure there's like an astrophysicist who listens to this podcast.
Fred, maybe you could come up with something.
She's not an astrophysicist. She's like a geneticist.
No, but she's creative and
we have
goony and scientific all at once.
We have faith in you, Fred. Okay, here's what it is. You have a blade on your serger that cuts your fabric. It's actually two blades, the upper and the lower, but they're together. And they are in front of your needle. Your fabric gets cut.
First.
And then yes, your fabric is cut, and then as it moves along, there is both time and space between it being cut and it being stitched. And most of the time, you're not stretching your fabric because ZD and Mallory are there slapping your hand, telling you not to do that. And so your fabric is allowed to pass through the space-time gap there and then be stitched on and everything's happy. But in this case, we're sending this stretched fabric through, and it has the tendency, since it's being stretched after it's cut, to like spring away from the area where the stitching happens under the foot. Okay? So you need to be watching. We don't want you to really watch your needle, but you need to watch that edge of the fabric to make sure that after the fabric gets cut, that new edge is going to be going under the foot to where it can get stitched. So I sort of angle my arm, okay?
The arm that's behind the feed dog.
So let's talk about this. My left hand is holding the fabric behind the foot, behind the feed dogs. My right hand is holding the fabric in front of the blade, in front of the machine. It's closest to my body. And that left hand, I kind of cross over the center of my body a little bit to make sure that my cut fabric is moving, making sure that it's getting under the foot.
Right.
Otherwise, you'll notice, oh, it got off, and you'll correct, and it'll get on, but you'll have this little tail of serger chain. You know,
right.
That is off of your fabric. So that's where you need to be really consistent at your placement. You need to be consistent in your stretching and consistent in your feeding.
And you do have to let go and then grab again and let go and grab again. Because, of course, you know, while you're holding this, say you're only going to sew 6 inches or four inches or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you have to grab hold again and do it again. So you have to be consistent in these movements to get a consistent look.
Which is something that we say about other types of sewing,
that's
too.
Right.
So good reminder. Yes, so you will be stretching, sending through.
So I have some nomenclature.
Okay, let's hear it.
Serger time zone. Not good enough for you?
I don't know.
Oh, God. Where's Fred?
Definitely want space-time to be
you want
there.
Space?
Because, you know, there's space and there's time, but then we actually know that
space-time
space time
zone?
Is
so
one
the space-time
thing.
Zone?
Okay.
I don't know.
Just picturing, like, a serger in the middle of a grid, and it's creating weight, and it's drawing everything toward it. No, it's drawing all the knits in the house toward it.
She does not know what she's talking about, I don't think.
Oh, other
I think
people are going to love this.
She's making this up.
Other
it's all
are
like,
gonna love this.
Yeah.
Okay, so you have, but that is where lettuce edges get in the way, or get mm-hmm. trouble. You know, it's
right.
Where people have trouble with them.
And every lettuce edge can turn out different depending on the stretch of your fabric, you know, the fabric content, whatever, how much.
Yeah.
If I sit down and do one and then Mallory sits down and does one, it may look very different.
Yes.
Because there is the, you know, the variability of us, of us.
So what we did, the activity we did to create this, to practice this technique, you know, so we'd have classes where we did serger techniques.
Right.
But of course, we wanted everybody to be able to like walk away with something, you know, like, yay, I did a project, you know. And so we made a scarf, a layered scarf. So we cut out rectangles and of like three different lengths. They were just maybe like 2 inches shorter than each other or something. So they could be like staggered.
Right.
And then we sort of.
Well, they were layered, not staggered.
Well, yeah. Staggered and layered. Well, both, okay. Both things. Both. Yes, yes. You're totally right. So then with your rectangle, you kind of cut off the edges so it sort of was arced, you know, a little bit. Like we had a little, you know, curve to it. We didn't obviously try to make like a square edge. And we made these.
She means rounded edge.
Rounded.
A rounded corner.
Yeah. But it wasn't, right. You know, it was a little bit more severe than that. It looked, yeah, like the end of a feather or something.
Yes. Like, you know. More pointed? Yes. Is that what pointed. You want to say?
I really, okay, think there's a word that I'm missing out on here. But whatever.
Okay.
And so we did these three layers, and then we put them on top of each other and just did a straight stitch. So really, it was just kind of giving you this lettucey edge frilly. Frilly is the word there that we're getting here. Frilly edge scarf, right, with these three layers. And this was in the days, this must have been when we tried to do this several, several years ago, because we could only find like two fabrics at our local Joann's that would let us do this, because they literally did not have knits.
Right.
And now they kind of do-ish, sort, right, of, sometimes. But, yeah, this was in the day.
Well, and you couldn't, you really couldn't order online at the time.
No, it, not in the way we can now. And we, like, had stuff at home that we'd gotten at some point.
And actually, T-shirt knit is,
yeah, T-shirt knit's good, nice for this. T-shirt knit can be good for this. But we had, like, an
It's inner... also a way to hem a T-shirt.
Yeah, okay. So let's talk about, well, I did want to bring up, so we found some nice kind of jersey that was good for this that was... were like kind of tightly knitted, and when something we had some interlock that was more loosely knitted, and it was almost too stretchy, like it would stretch out way too much in the process, you know.
Well, if when you pull the fabric, it sort of pulls the fibers too far apart, yeah, like there's too much, it doesn't hold well,
and overstretch, right? Yeah, okay, yeah. So, practical uses is you can hem a T-shirt this way, it's you see it on little kids' mm-hmm. clothes, especially a lot.
I think one of my samples was that I took a ready-made shirt that was in the store. I took a ready-made shirt and I took metallic threads.
Yeah.
And I say, you know, I didn't really change the hem as much as I just sort of
cut off,
you know, the hem, and I did the sleeves and I did the hem bottom on the bottom of the shirt. And then I actually just sort of top stitched around the collar. So I had it like in three places.
Okay. So I've never, I've always thought this is like a super cute hem.
Right.
And that's fine. But I've never really liked it for a neckline because we're always trying to not get our necklines to be wavy, right?
Right.
Well, then I turn on the Great British Baking Show Masterclass and there is Mary Berry in a pink knit top. And the neckline is a lettuce edge. And it's sort of, it lifts off her neck in certain places. But, you know, it's high enough that it's not, of course, you know, like showing anything. But, you know, we're always trying to get like the perfect neck band and not to get our neck lines to be wavy or out of shape. And I'm like, well, shoot, just do a freaking lettuce edge and, you know, embrace it. Like, I just thought it was funny that, you know, we're always trying to get that opposite effect, but it looked very
well,
elegant.
Well, and again, that would be something you'd really want to test.
Yes.
Because, you know, I think that the fabric that she was wearing was a heftiness to it.
It did.
It was,
I think,
not
too.
A limp fabric.
No, it wasn't something that would have like way overstretched and been a problem or something like that. It was a knit with some more body to it. I totally agree. But that is what inspired this episode.
Yeah. I think the other thing you could try and do is like maybe put like the shaper knit under there.
Mm.
You know, it would sort of, and see if that works.
Or
something like that.
You know, have your body of your T-shirt be two layers.
Right.
So that, yes. Mm-hmm. But you will need to test, because like Zeedee said, this works differently on every
And the other thing
fabric.
You could do is, you know, you could do a cover stitch in farther and have that.
Yep.
So you had some stabilizing stitch there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there are a lot of things you could do. But this is a technique that won't really work on a woven. Okay.
I learned to do this technique on my regular sewing machine.
Okay.
Okay. And where I learned it was I was making skating skirts for ice skaters.
Okay.
And it was, you know, the really close zigzag, and I just stretched it, and I learned it on Lycra. You know, and I
can
that's
you trim
how we,
away after on that or no, what you got on
no,
the edge?
It was like almost like doing a tiny hem. You had to be like right there on it.
Yeah.
And of course I always use matching thread at that point because it was more the technique than how that thread looked. Where when I got a serger that was easy to use decorative threads in and all that, you know, it sort of advanced myself to the serger, where then I used the serger thread as being, you know, a decorative, you know, point.
Right. Part of the look.
Appointment. Yes, it wasn't just, but on these little skating skirts, we were just worried about getting that little edge.
You were just trying to get that fullness. Oh, and I do want to say, if you do your lettuce edge and you're successful and everything, you can then stretch it out a little more. Okay, and sometimes it'll, so if you're like, oh, I'd really like this to be a little frillier, sometimes you can stretch it after the fact, too. Because we do this all the time without wanting to, right? You can say, oh, no, I've overstretched my knit, and now it is wavy. Well, this is taking that to an extreme, okay, and getting you an edge that we can call, you know, a design detail. So anything else to add on this technique before we take a break, ZD?
I can't think of anything right now, so I'll bring up something later.
Okay, great. Sounds good. Sounds good. Hey, ZD. Wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
And we're back. All right, so this hem isn't a lettuce edge.
I don't call it a lettuce edge. I call it, you know, a wavy wire edge or a wavy fishing line edge.
Yeah, it is. I think some people might think they maybe have heard the term lettuce edge, and they see this edge, and it also looks kind of like lettuce, you know.
If you were a bride or saw a bride in the 1980s, this was on her dress maybe and on her veil.
And well, maybe even like at her sleeves. Sometimes they have like the puff.
The puffy sleeves, sometimes it would just be like the big ruffle on the sleeve, and there would be several layers.
Okay. Of it.
Yeah. And it was this big wave on the end of a sheer fabric.
And we put it on the edge of a ballroom dancing dress for me. Right. So that may also jog a memory.
And that was chiffon.
Yes.
That was on silk chiffon.
Yeah. So the way that this edge is made is you can't do the stretching and get the effect that we just spoke about in the first, you know, act of, the first act of the podcast. How do you like that? All right. So
scene one.
Yeah. You're not going to get that type of edge. You can try to kind of stretch out maybe on the bias or something that's not going to work. However, doesn't this fishing line or this wired edge have to be done on the bias?
It does.
It does. Okay,
it absolutely does because you have to have the stretch.
You have to have the
flexibility. Okay, so you can't take a, you know, woven piece of fabric and go on the weft or on the
warp.
It has to be on the bias. Now, it does not have to be on the true bias.
Okay.
So it can be on a hemline of a skirt that is curved.
Okay.
Okay. Same way with a sleeve. You know, you either cut the sleeve on the bias or that sleeve has to have a curve to it. It has to have the curve or you will, because the edge of that fabric has to be able to stretch and have that movement.
You're also not going to get this on like a heavy woven. Like, if you sew fishing line.
Well, I said sheer. I don't know if anybody heard me.
Yeah, so I just wanted to reiterate that.
So it can be on a knit.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, on the knit, you don't. You just have to make sure you're on the stretch of the fabric.
Right.
If it doesn't stretch one way, it's not going to work, right. You know, on the non-stretch.
But you can't take, part. Like, a brocade and sew fishing line on the edge of it and expect it to do.
Probably isn't going to happen.
That's happening. So... this is a technique.
It's usually, you know, it's usually a sheer or a knit.
Right.
And not even, you know, like I would say light to medium knits. Mm-hmm. Not even a real, real heavy knit.
Right. Okay, so we did this on like a lightweight chiffon. It was a poly chiffon, right?
Oh, I think it was silk.
Oh, did you order silk for that dress?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay.
It's a silk dress.
It's a silk dress, so we ordered silk chiffon. Yeah. All right, so it's a lightweight, sort of like loosely, you know, it's a sheer, so it's a little more loosely woven, sort of. And you put gores.
So those were gores.
Into a dress.
Right.
Into a ready-made dress.
And so the bottom of the gore was shaped, you know, it had a curved shape, you know.
So you didn't cut that gore on the bias, really, did you? Question mark.
I have to go look at the dress. I don't know.
Not sure. Okay. Yeah. But at least
having I do know that the bottom of that stretched.
Yes, it did. It worked. It worked.
Yeah.
And then this is a technique that we execute on the serger. And we use which foot?
The elastic application foot is what we use. And the reason we use that,
what?
It has a tiny little hole in it.
Yes.
Where you can send through a wire.
Uh-huh.
Or a... fishing line.
Right.
So, what kind of fishing line?
What kind of fishing line?
Well, here we go. Test again.
Test.
Because the thicker the line, the less wavy.
Okay.
The thinner the line, and I can't remember, like, so it has to do with the test strength.
Yeah, it's like a 180 pound or a
pound
fishing line.
So, I think it's like, I can't remember which way it goes, how it goes. But the, you know, the finer it is and still strong, it will curl different.
Yeah. And so it depends on your fabric. Depends on the weight of your fishing line. So like ZD said,
right.
test.
Right.
You do need for every application you're going to do.
And I do this with the rolled hem.
Okay.
Because you're trying to encase this fishing line.
Rolled edge or rolled hem?
Well, either would probably work,
but
I think I do rolled edge, actually.
Okay.
But I think either would work. As long as you can encase this, you're trying to encase it. Now, here's the deal. You're going over this with your fabric. You know, you're sending your fabric through the machine, the wire and or the... Now, wire is a different thing, and we usually do that like on a ribbon or something.
Yeah, you can make your own wire ribbon.
I think I've used a wire like in a costume before where I wanted something really stiff, but that's not something I would do probably in like a practical garment that I was going to wear. So you're sending the edge of your fabric through the machine, cutting off just a little bit. You've got your knife engaged, right? You're on your three-thread rolled.
Mm-hmm.
Again, tight, probably down. Start at the one and
that
go up or down, right?
Uh-huh.
Probably going to wind up on a half or one, I would say. So just enough to move it through.
Yeah.
And get it to encase this, right? But when you start out, you want to have a big, long tail of this line.
Right.
So feed that through your machine and pull out, like, I would say 18 inches even, maybe.
Because you're not stitching through the line.
You're stitching over it. This line will continue to slide through this casing.
That's right.
Through the life of the garment. Okay. So you go around and go around and go around, and it may not really look like much is happening.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Can I just clarify before you move on? You're not stretching your fabric like did in Act 1.
Right.
Okay, so you're just sending your fabric through.
Right.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
So you're just sending your fabric through, letting it do its thing, making sure it's up close, making sure, you know, you're covering and the fabric's not getting pushed out and all this. Okay. And that you're not accidentally cutting your fishing line, right?
Yeah.
Then you finish, and you're in the round, so you just kind of go off the fabric a little bit, right? Okay. When you finish, you
Do not cut your fishing line immediately.
You don't have to cut the fishing line at all. Or you can leave like 2 feet or something or a yard of it. And then you go back and you start pulling the fabric over this line. You sort of spread it out over this line. That's why you have the excess on both ends, right?
Right.
Because, and it starts to curl.
So the curl is coming from the fishing line.
Mm-hmm.
And from the flexibility you've gotten in your fabric from it not being directly on the straight of grain.
Right.
So it's on the true bias or it's curved.
Right.
And then, yeah, you're going to...
And it may look straight. Yeah. As it's coming out of the machine, it may look nice and straight and flat. And you're like, well, this isn't working.
Yeah.
And it is. As long as you're on the bias. If you're on the straight grain, it will just be flat.
Yeah, it's not going to give you the curl. Like, I mean, some of these, I'll try to find some images to kind of give you an idea. But, you know, you think of almost the curl that you see on some, you know, flamenco-looking costumes.
Yes.
Where they've,
all I can think of is 80s brides. You know, they had their hair up and they had, like, this
the tiara thingy.
And then their veil was, and
yeah.
Here's the thing about tulle.
Yeah.
Tools stretch whichever way you want.
Right.
So you get the shape you want of this bridal veil, right? And then you just go for it.
Right.
Because tulle is so
loosely woven.
It's so loosely woven that, you know, you can stretch it in any which way you want to.
Yeah.
It's just a tiny mesh,
makes
right?
Makes it cool.
And sometimes your chiffons are kind of like
that's why I said that.
That's why I'm thinking I might have just been on the curve and not on the bias.
It will work
because the way I put that in, I'll have to look. I don't remember.
Yeah, but it will
work. Do
you
know how long ago that was? Like, wasn't that
forever? I was my senior year of high school, so it was 2007.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Well, I was gonna say 15 years. I guess it was only 13.
Yeah, only 13. So. Yeah, your fishing line, but this is where the testing comes in because you, let's pretend someone, you know, you have fishing line in your tackle box. You got two different weights. You try the two different weights on the fabric you want to use or.
And this is also one of those excellent things to get yourself like a container or a baggie or something.
Oh my gosh.
And keep your samples because even though the next time you do it, it might not come out exactly the same because you're not. You know, there's some variable there, whether it's your fabric or your whatever. But you'll have an idea of where maybe to start.
Okay, I want to go back to, you said this fishing line's encased. It can move throughout the life of the garment. It's not stitched through. Okay, so if you make a costume for somebody and there's a little bit of fishing line there and they don't understand how long you
worked on it. And they're in show choir.
And they're just like some squirrely teenager.
And they pick on their costume.
They sit there and pick on their costume. Okay, they could pull out this fishing line.
So what do you do about that?
What do? You smack them. No, I'm kidding.
Actually, what I did is I put a dot of glue on
it.
Okay. So at the end, I would sort of glue it to the fabric.
Yes, yes.
You know, I would just use a dot of glue. And the one I used at the time was that F-150 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
But E-6000 would work. Okay. You know, any of those quick drying, you know.
Polymer type.
Yeah, anything. You know, I'm saying quick drying because, you know, you don't have to want to.
Right.
But like a fray block would probably not be strong enough.
Not quite cut it.
Right. You really want it to sort of stabilize that fishing line. Yeah. I walked up and this girl was like, look. And
yeah,
she had
like pulling it all out.
It was almost all out. I mean, I just got like this is on a big circle skirt.
Right.
And like the last foot of it was still in. I was like, why did she think it was an accident? Yeah. I mean, why did she think it was an accident? But anyway. And that was on Sparkle Organza.
Okay.
On a circle skirt.
So you left mine because it won't generally like come out on its own. Like it's in there pretty
secure. No, it's pretty much in there.
But
what I do is, you know, you're threading it past each other at the ends. Yeah.
But we have on one layer of that skirt, you did 3-tiered layers, I believe. On one layer of that skirt, you left it and since we talk about this kind of stuff.
We pull it out
all the
time.
We pull it out a little bit. We're like, look, here's the fishing line. Right. And then we pull it back in, you know.
Well, and here's something else interesting about this skirt, that I made. So I took an existing straight-fitted dress and turned it into a full skirt by putting gores in it. Mm-hmm. And I was unable to match the color.
Right.
Right? So what I did is I went to the other extreme, and the three layers of chiffon, each one is a different color.
Yeah, so it's various shades of brown.
Right, so it's all these different shades of brown. And then on the actual serging, the thread that I did,
yeah,
is I did every single color in a different variation of thread.
Yeah, different.
Different colors, different textures.
Different browns, kind right. of think one of them is sort of a coppery, mm-hmm. you know, orangey color. So, yeah, that was.
And that this was a ballroom dress.
Yes.
So, you know, it had to sort of bounce and flow and go with her.
Yeah, yeah. So that is, those are those two sort of edges that, you know, one, I can see how someone would think that fishing line edge is a, it could be called a lettuce edge. Like if they're just getting it.
Yeah.
Salmon, they'd be like, oh.
It's like big fat lettuce.
Yeah.
It's just, like romaine so versus.
There's like curly edge kale. Yeah. And there's like
it's, yeah. Actually, the types of kale. I would say the kale edge is more like the other, the knit serger one.
The knit should be called the kale edge.
It should be called
edge.
The kale edge
okay.
now that we all know what kale is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Everybody knows what kale is
yes.
now. Yeah.
Yeah.
all right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening.
Test.
Get yourself some fishing line. Go get your tackle box. Have a good time.
And tulle is fun to do.
Yeah.
I have to admit.
That's the only time. When it's
it can
fun.
Make a really cute tutu if you do several layers of it. Yeah.
Go make a tutu. You can find us on Instagram. We're at SoHereComm. ZD, take it away.
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit SoHere.com.
It's time for another season of The Palmetto Porch, an original podcast from Discover South Carolina. I'm Devin Whitmire. Join me as I get to the heart of what makes South Carolina such a great place to visit by speaking to the locals who make it so special. Premiering December 5th, find The Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information about our show, visit scpalmettoporch.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.